And it is the class reunion from 96.3 K Rimhan, our legendary artist series, welcoming back one of my favorite interviews, Gretchen Christopher from the Fleetwoods. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, Kelly. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's great to hear from you again. Doggone it. It's been too long, but it's only been just a couple of months since we talked the last time. But that's entirely too long.
Well, I was just listening. Boz and my first love and I were just listening to that interview yesterday morning to find out what I had said. I was shocked.
You mean did I pull some information out of you didn't want?
I'm just teasing, but truly, it was a very original interview. It was, I talked about things that I had never talked about before. And so if we don't touch on those subjects this time, we'll just have to post the November interview so that people can go to the website and hear it.
Well, I'm certainly hoping, number one, that it will get posted. We've been doing some editing here and there to take out some things that we didn't want in the interview. I'll just update the people on that. And, it's kind of interesting. I sat and listened to the interview when I was doing the editing, and I went, well, you know, this lady is really a lot of fun to talk to.
Thanks.
Well, anyway, today, as I've been promoing, we're going to talk a lot about your work post Fleetwoods, and the fact that, you know, when people are not on the charts for a while, the audience tends to forget that they're around, and you're one of the busy people in the business yet, and that's good, because we need all our 50s and 60s artists to be busy.
Well, I certainly have been. I've continued writing songs over the decades. You know, I realize it's been six decades. You know, I wrote Come Softly to Me in 1958, and in 1959 it became the number one hit in the United States, and it was the Fleetwoods, you know, brand new on little old Dolphin Records,
uh-huh.
Which became Dolphin Records. And then Barbara and I wrote, that's Barbara Ellis, and I wrote Graduations Here, which was our second top 40 hit.
Which, incidentally, you have a new version on your album.
Yes, I do. I had a lot of fun doing it.
A little more
up-tempo than our original, and just a lot of fun.
Well, I have a strange hunch this afternoon that we may just play that a little bit later on.
Well, but that'd be fine.
That would be a lot of fun, too. The album is great, but I want to, before we get into talking a lot about Gretchen's Sweet 16, I want to jump back into the Wayback Machine for just a couple of seconds. Golly, you feel like you're right in the middle of Rocky and Bullwinkle, don't you?
Right in the middle of what?
Of the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. We're going to jump into the Wayback Machine and head back head back a few years to a group called the Diamonds. Now, you're probably thinking, now, what the heck do the Diamonds and the Fleetwoods have in common?
Well, what we had in common was that we did the Dick Clark show. I think it was called Caravan of Stars or something.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
And this was in Miami Beach, and it was the one live show that we did for Dick Clark. And then he put us up in Miami Beach and then flew us to New York the following week to do his show, the Dick Clark show, the Beach Nut Hour, for television. So at the show in Miami, it was just full of wonderful stars. but anyway, the most memorable was when we were backstage waiting to go on, and here came these handsome young fellows who looked like college boys, very clean cut, good looking, and one of them said, "Which one of you is Gretchen?" And Barbara pointed to me, and he said, "Here, this is for you." And it was a 45 called Gretchen.
Oh, wow. And, of course, the very special guy that we were talking about is none other than Dave Somerville.
That's right.
Who is a great guy and is still very active in the business, too. You know, that'd be a good combination, having you and him together sometime.
Well, you know, it just might be. And, in fact, we did a similar show. I don't mean that our shows were similar, but in Santa Monica there was a thing called Parlor Performances, and he did one, and I did one. And I went to his to see how it was done and talked to him a little bit. And, of course, we have some similarities, both being from groups and now doing solo work.
I was just thinking that would really be cool because, I guess the next time I talk to Dave, I'll tell him what he needs a torchy lead singer.
There you go.
Call Gretchen Christopher. Well, anyway, we've talked about the song, and now you have to remember that this is 1950, so some of it is politically incorrect by today's standards.
Now, which song are we talking about? Oh, Gretchen.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, the song Gretchen. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
I mean, it was a little hard. I would have hate to have written the song because Gretchen is not exactly the easiest name in the world to rhyme with.
Well, it seems to rhyme with fetching, and what's funny is that I made my professional debut dancing and singing solo on television and dancing solo at the Colony in Seattle. And some singing, but I was mostly dancing. And the caricature artist in-house did this huge poster of me, and it said, "The Fetchin' Miss Gretchen," and then I meet the Diamonds, and what do they do?
They did the Fetchin' Miss Gretchen, and here they are.
Gretchen is fetching as she swings away along Main Street. Walking down Main Street, she has a cute silhouette, one of the cutest you've met, and it isn't a freak. And the week when they speak about Gretchen, wow, she's got everything I need. So I better mention that it's my intention to win her. Munching my lunch and I dream of her also. So when she's in her kitchen one day, I'll just say to Gretchen, come look at my etching and I'll carry her away. She has a cute silhouette, one of the cutest you've met, and it isn't a freak. Men go weak when they speak about Gretchen. Wow, she's got everything I need, so I'd better mention that it's my intention to win her. Munching my lunch and I dream of her also through dinner. I'm simply itching for us to be itching, so when she's in one day, I'll just say to Gretchen, come look at my etching and carry her away.
Now, would you have been happy if Dave had carried you away at that point, Gretchen?
Oh, he was pretty attractive, let me tell you. And as I hear that ending, I can just see me doing high kicks, Broadway style, Rockette style, that big ending.
Now that sounds fun. Now, most people don't realize, and you've touched on it in the last interview, but and touched on it a little bit in this interview, that you're a dancer and choreographer as well as being a singer.
That's
and songwriter
right.
And accomplished musician. What the heck do you do with your spare time?
Unfortunately, I made all my hobbies into my profession, so there is no spare time. It's all the same, you know. It used to be play, and now it's all work. But I do, as I said to you earlier, aren't we fortunate to be paid to do what we love?
Yeah, you know, it's a friend of mine has a very interesting take on the music business and on disc jockeys, and he said the entertainment business was developed for people who otherwise are unemployable.
Well, that's kind of true. And you know, it's very optimistic sounding of me to say we're paid to do what we love. I mean, the fact is there are performances once in a while for which I am paid or the Fleetwoods are paid. But it's in between that, you know, it's years and years and years of work. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to make my living and my life in the arts from being a teenager, you know, from that very early time. And as I say, I was professional. I had made my professional debut even before we Fleetwoods made our first recordings. And then having written it as well as recorded it, it has provided royalties over the years, and I've continued to do interviews and kind of keep the name and music alive as much as possible when we're not performing. But this has provided for someone as careful as I am a living, and that's, I think, very unusual, actually, in this business, because very often artists who taste success go out and blow their money, and I wasn't brought up that way, so I was very careful.
You've always had a very close hand in the management of the Fleetwoods, and I gather from talking to you, you're a pretty sharp business lady, and a lot of the artists that did very well back in the 50s and 60s wound up dealing with unscrupulous managers, record companies, and the like.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've been pretty fortunate along that line, haven't you?
Well, we've had our problems too with with record companies and publishers, and
no names mentioned, of course.
Only the ones that we've recorded for. And some that you might not know we recorded for since then. But yeah, they're, well, it's funny. I took, after writing some new songs, and I played them for Bones Howe, who we were both at the BMI Millionaires Luncheon, and because people had said, the things you're writing now would be wonderful themes, love themes for movies. And so I spoke to him about it because he was vice president in charge of motion pictures for RCA Records, I believe. I certainly hope I'm remembering this correctly. He said, make an appointment with Doreen Ringer Ross, who is BMI's writer movie relations or something of that sort. So I did, and she said, tell me your story. And I did, and she said, she was kind of amazed and said, I think what you should do is write your story and you as a movie and use your songs as a soundtrack. And she said, I don't even know if you're a writer. And I was just beaming. I said, absolutely, I am, but I've never written a screenplay. And she said, well, there are lots of good books on it, or you could go to UCLA and take some courses. I said, I'll go to UCLA. So I did, and there is some method to the madness of this story. Where did we start?
I think I forgot.
Oh, goodness.
We started about being paid for doing things that we love.
Oh, yeah, but that wasn't it. Oh, Kelly, I was going to be so sure that I kept track of what I was saying. Oh, see, now, if this were pre-recorded and not live, you could just send me the tape, and I'd say, oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say, if we could edit it in. But here we are blabbing away for an hour live. This is insanity.
It wouldn't be any fun.
Oh, people have no idea.
Well, I think half of it, and when I hear from people regarding the Legendary Artist series, people say, you know, you seem to have the human touch. The artists really have a nice human touch. And I guess it's because we never script anything.
Well, and now I remember what it was I was going to tell you. Oh.
There was a point. Okay, let's rewind real quickly.
Okay, so I did go to UCLA, and I did take screenwriting courses. And I also took a course, I think it was called something about Billboard, or it was run by somebody from Billboard who did the charts.
Right, Billboard Magazine, which was the Bible of radio.
Right. In any case, after one of the classes, I was walking across campus behind the guest speakers. Oh, this is a course on publishing. And the publisher said to the person running the course something about, well, you know, publishers and record companies always try to keep all that they can. They try to pay the artist as little as possible. And the way she said it was just matter of fact, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just, everybody knows that, and she wasn't ashamed to say it. It was just the way things are. But the difference is that I came from a family with a great sense of integrity, and I thought when people talked to me and told me things, they told me the truth. And I also had a great sense of logic and of equity, what is fair. So I went to bat for the Fleetwoods, and met eyeball to eyeball with the president of Liberty Records, who had been bought, Dalton Records, and asked for the things that I felt were fair. And the lawyer who was representing us said later he was amazed and that he had a great deal of respect for me because I asked for things that were fair, but which he would never ask for because they were never given in the business. It was just, you know, the typical way of the business was to put the screws to the artist.
Yeah, and, any way possible.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard countless stories. People like Vita Gardner from the Coasters, wife of Carl Gardner, has told me many stories about the struggles that they've gone through. Carl Gardner, you know, the Coasters was pretty big act.
Oh, yeah.
And Carl, for many years, didn't get a single royalty.
Oh, gee.
And fortunately, you know, it has happened, but it was a personal struggle, and it caused some health issues, and it has to many people within the business. But let's go to a happier time.
All right. I'm ready.
I thought you would be. But anyway, meanwhile... As Gretchen and Kel tried to figure out where the heck we were going next with the interview. No, where we're going is we're going to Gretchen's Sweet 16. Now, if you were with us the last time, you know that Gretchen Christopher, in fact, is a February 29th baby.
That's right.
And that means that she doesn't have the normal number of birthdays that the rest of us have. That actually, at this particular point in time, I'm probably, if I flirted with you, I'd probably be breaking some laws because you're only 16.
Right. Fun but dangerous. Underage.
But anyway, I say that a lot too. That is the title of her album. And if I remember correctly, you told me one time that it is sort of Gretchen's coming of age album.
Will?
No, Kel. You can say no, Kel. You're absolutely wrong.
Well, no. I just hadn't thought of it in exactly those words. But yes, first of all, it is the story of my first love. I first fell in love when I was 16 or had been alive for 16 years. And he was 18.
Mm. And... An older man.
The older man, definitely. And we went steady for my junior year and his senior year of high school, and then he went off to college, and I had suggested we quit going steady when he went to college and that he have a full college experience dating sorority girls and doing all of that, and I was already pursuing my music. And even so, he invited me. He pledged Sigma Chi, and he invited me to their functions and things up at the University of Washington in Seattle. But then I graduated, and I went off to pursue my dreams. And we were apart for 40 years, almost 40 years. And now we're together again, and oddly enough, I am 16 again. Very strange.
Funny how this is.
Yeah.
Is Voss 18 again now?
No, unfortunately, he's not. I won't tell you how old he is.
No, well, we can let him lie about his age, okay?
As a matter of fact, I was just writing up invitations for what I think will be a surprise birthday party for him. And a surprise preview of Gretchen's Sweet 16, which tells our story. And the thing about it is, when I hit that 16th birthday, you mentioned coming of age, Kel, and when I reached that 16th birthday, I made the commitment to do this album, which I'd always presumed I would do. And in the midst of doing our 11 Fleetwood's hits and 15 albums, I thought, if I am going to continue doing this, I want it to be solo and for my own label, or at least when I have a substantial piece of the action in.
Sure.
Because we were kind of slaves auctioned off the block. That's how I felt about us, you know, as artists with the company. I mean, here we had two number one hits, and it didn't mean any more money really for us. It meant that we were worth a fortune, and the company sold us, and the people who owned the company you know, reap their millions or quarters of a millions or half millions or, you know, whatever.
And your agent made all kinds of money.
Yeah, like the agent, we didn't have an agent initially, and suddenly all the biggest agencies wanted to sign us, and Bob Reisdorf, our producer and the president of Dalton Records, said to one of the big ones, if you get the Fleetwood's, the, what is it, a really, really big shoe, who would that be?
Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan, right? You get the prize. Yeah, that if he got us the Ed Sullivan show, or they did, that we would sign with that agency. And
you know, here is that brand new act, the Fleetwood. Now, was Ed really alive?
He was alive.
I had this question about him. You know, there's a standard joke in the industry that Ed died about 20 years before he was off the air. And he was still on the air because nobody told him he died.
Oh, gosh. Well, I can just see him sort of pivoting around like a, you know, some sort of a wooden doll or whatever. And there, we were told that he was very rude in that he didn't have the courtesy or didn't have the know-how to shake the artist's hand at the end so that the artist would be seen by the audience. Instead, he shook the artist's hand so that he was seen by the artist, and the artists had their back to the audience. So that, and sure enough, that's the way he did it with us too.
In defense of Ed, I guess, and somebody maybe should defend him a little bit. Oh. The fact that he was a newspaper columnist, and he was, and in those days, television was still a pretty young media, and nobody knew what the heck they were doing. And a lot of people say nobody knows what the heck they're doing today. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of passing on what's been said. And, you know, that little thing did prove to be true. But it was kind of a disastrous show in that, well, first of all, Ed was not there for the rehearsal. He just came on at the end after, you know, when the filming was done. And but at the rehearsal, somebody decided, and one of his staff decided that Gary wasn't strong enough, and so they put a whole chorus singing the Dum Dums behind him.
I'll bet Gary loved that.
Oh, gosh, none of us did. And they had this loping cowboy beat to it, and I said, wait a minute, how about some bongo drums, you know, to give it more of a Latin flavor, because we had used bongos on one of the versions. So then they put bongo drums, and this player thought it was his chance of a lifetime, and so he played to beat the band. And it was, and they had us standing in the middle of a corral in cowboy outfits. It was just ridiculous. So it was a great feather in our cap to have done the Ed Sullivan show, but we much preferred the Dick Clark show, which we did numerous times.
And I think I'm very fortunate in the fact I did not see you on Ed Sullivan. I did see you several times on the Dick Clark show. Let's talk about Autumn Gold, which is the first cut I want to play this afternoon. It is a pretty song. Off the album, of the cuts that I have heard, it is my favorite.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm happy for whatever is your favorite, but I opened the album with that because it's kind of a flashback song, for one thing, and it's something that many people have experienced, you know, loving and losing someone, and whether they're, maybe it's just that they've lost track of them, but I think everybody can pretty much relate to that, and so many people have felt that that was a favorite song of theirs. And it has the quality of a standard, I think. So that was important because I considered opening with Sweet 16, but it sounds very bubblegum, and it's the latest thing I've written, and I didn't want people to think, oh, she's still writing 50s music, you know. So here is actually something that's more typical of me. It's called Autumn Gold.
When skies were autumn gold, with thoughts of autumn gold,
That's some song, Gretchen.
Oh, thank you.
The first, I think when I previewed the song, and by the way, if you go to Gretchen's website, which is www.gretchenchristopher.com, you can preview some cuts from this album, and of course that being one of them. When I did that, and I heard the opening of it, I went, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, that's a, you know, that's kind of a funny clip for that song, because it doesn't, the sound clip does not start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle, and it's, you know, it's a really different mood in the middle. And it, somebody said it really makes them want to hear more, so I hope it affects other people that way, too. You just never know, you know, with what to start with, but that was, I did choose to put that first on the album.
We can call that the Lay's potato chip cut, right?
So you have to keep eating more and more.
Exactly. You can't have just one.
I hope so.
But it is a great song. And let me run the website by him again, Gretchen, www.gretchenchristopher.com, or you can link to it from my website and my links page.
Oh, good.
You're there.
Good. And, you know, they're really, I think there's a dot in there, too, www.gretchenchristopher.com.
Well, you know, I tend to forget that little dot.
I know, but I just want to make sure they get there, and they can drop me an email. There's a link over on the right that says email us.
Mm-hmm. And, which is how I got in touch with you the first time.
Yeah, that's right, and I'm so glad you did, and I know that you wrote me many, many times, and I
only
wasn't
twice.
Replying. Oh, okay, this is your second chance or something. Yeah.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I think that's the way I phrased it, the subject line. Second request.
Yes, it was, and I thought, oh my, how did I miss this?
Well, I probably was caught in your spam filter. Tell you what, Gretchen, we have to do the weather, and when we come back, we're going to kind of work toward a cut that we mentioned early on, and that being Graduations here. And you are listening to the Legendary Artist Series on 96.3 KRIM. Our guest this afternoon, Gretchen Christopher from the Fleetwoods, solo artist, singer, dancer, composer. What else?
I don't know. I'm just overwhelmed.
Do you wash cars too?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
My own car.
And you are listening to the Class Reunion Legendary Artist Series from 96.3 KRIM. Gretchen Christopher from the Fleetwoods is with us. And I said this at the top of the show, but it's good to have you here again.
Oh, it's great to be here.
We have entirely too much fun when we do these things.
Oh, I know. But, you know, at least it's obvious that it hasn't been edited as we lose our way.
Yeah,
and
well.
I wanted to mention something to you, too. You mentioned Graduations here. And I opened with Sweet 16. Oh, I'm sorry. I opened the album Gretchen Sweet 16 with the song Autumn Gold, which you just heard. My first love, Vaz, about whom this album was written, was adamant that I should have a recognizable hit not later than the second song in the album.
Mm-hmm.
As my mother says, since when is he controlling your music? But you know, Kel, I respect everybody's opinion. I do. Everybody's opinion is valid because they all listen to and care about music. So his idea was if you don't give them something recognizable, they may not listen further. And but I didn't. I wanted to save Come Softly to Me to, these are all songs I've written. So I wanted to save Come Softly to Me to the point where it came chronologically in the story,
mm-hmm.
which would not be second, you know, because that was a hit, and that was a couple of years, well, yeah, 2 years later, I guess, after I was a junior, yeah. So what I did is I put in the original song that I had written, which is called Come Softly, and it's just my melody and lyrics and chords, and then the harmony that Barbara did, and which I'm singing, and the dum-dums that Gary added as part of the arrangement, or I should say I brought that into the song as part of the arrangement. Anyway, some people say they like it better even than the other one. So it's there. It's there to remind people of the era that they loved and that there's more to come.
Graduation. Graduation.
So now we've graduated.
Yes, yes. And so I'm off to pursue my dreams.
The dreams of being a star.
Yeah.
When you suddenly woke up one morning, you realized, hey, I'm a star. What did it feel like to you? That's a question I don't think I've ever asked you.
Well, in the first place, I don't think I ever felt that way. That's odd, isn't it?
I really don't think so.
But I'll tell you this, that when I moved to Hollywood, which was in the early 60s, because, as I mentioned, Liberty Records bought Dalton Records, and our producer and the president of the company was contracted to run the company for 5 years and to continue recording us, and that's Bob Reisdorf, and he did produce all of our hits. And so I had to fly down there for a recording session for my 21st birthday, as a matter of fact. And then shortly after that, I filed for divorce and moved down there permanently. Well, permanently being 2 years. And we did it again. Senior moment. I got it, Kelly. Listen to this. So while I was living down there, even though I didn't think, I'm a star, you know, but I would walk around and sort of pinch myself and say, I live in Hollywood. Da 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 da, Hollywood. You know, I really, really tried to enjoy the moment. And I had a little Austin Healey 3000. And I would drive around the Hollywood Hills in that, like driving up to Bob's place for one thing or another. And I remember saying to myself, now, Gretchen, appreciate this. You have this, you know, beautiful little sports car. You live in Hollywood. You're recording. Someday you won't have this car, and you won't be here, and you won't be doing this, but you will have had it. So remember that. Enjoy it now. And so I did that a lot with myself.
I think that's a fun story.
Well, good. Then why aren't you laughing?
I was laughing while you were telling the story because I'm picturing you doing a Dustin Hoffman type thing. You know, that driving scene from The Graduate. Only I input Gretchen Christopher into the seat of the car. And, you know, running up the hills and downshifting and being really cool.
You know what? I did do all those things, but I haven't seen that movie lately. I just saw Midnight Cowboy, where he was quite a different character.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we have to take a short break here, Gretchen. And when we come back, we're going to lead toward Blues Go Away, which is it's a torchy song.
Yes.
It is a hot song. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's mention the website again. Actually, you have two websites, and I'm going to let you do it because I forget to put the dot in there.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I'm right that there's a dot. Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
www.fleetwoods.com or www.gretchenchristopher.com.
You're wrong.
I am?
Yep, it's www.thefleetwoods.com.
Oh, well, that's true. They will both get you there, and you're right.
I'm picking on you because I was just going by your business card.
Well, you know, when I first registered the name, and then I had a web designer, and she said that she thought it should be thefleetwoods.com because whenever I'd say to somebody, we're the Fleetwoods, and they'd say Fleetwood Mac, you know, in recent years. And I'd say, no, the Fleetwood. So she thought it should be thefleetwoods.com.
Actually, I think she had pretty good sense doing that.
Well, good. So it's either way you can get there. Just as long as it's Fleetwoods and .com are in it, you will get there.
Cool. And you can find out a lot of neat stuff. There's some neat pictures there. There's just all kinds of stuff. On both websites, you can listen to some classic Fleetwoods music. And, of course, you can listen to snippets. Now, there's a word you don't hear often in an interview. Snippets of Gretchen's Sweet 16 album.
That's right. And I don't know that the snippets are up on this other site, but there's also what's the popular thing? MySpace.com/GretchenChristopher or MySpace.com/TheFleetwoods.
Oh, I knew I was going to pay for that sooner or later.
No, last time I told you I listened to our interview just yesterday to find out what in the world we had said. And on that one, I was correcting you, saying the Fleetwoods or something like that. But I don't know. Anyway, you are absolutely right.
So this is the quid pro quo, as it were.
Oh, well, I don't even know what that means.
Sort of like this is the payback. Okay, blues go away. Oh, man, what a torchy song.
I was 19 when I wrote that. And I think 20 when I recorded it.
So were there, if this is personal, you can say, Kel, let's not go there. Was this inspired by personal feelings? Did you have the blues?
Oh, absolutely. That is the most personal song that I had written to date. And when I say I recorded it when I was 20, it was on our fourth Fleetwoods album. But this recording that you're going to hear now is a new recording for Gretchen Sweet 16. But, of course, as similar as they could be, except that when I was 20 and recorded it, I had been flown to L.A., as all three of us Fleetwoods had been. We were flown down there together and got laryngitis, which we would do every time we hit that L.A. smog. And so I was very croaky when I did my original recording of it, and Bob Reisdorf, our producer, told me that he and the engineer listened over and over and over again, and they finally dialed out Gary and Barbara because they felt that they didn't add anything to the song. I mean, it really is a very individual song. You know, it's not something that you would sing with your buddies harmonizing. So, and he said... they were concerned about my croaky voice on the original recording. And he said, I like it. Sounds like she's been up all night crying. Anyway, Vaz says I should re-record it now that I'm a little croaky.
I've got the blues, a sickness much too bad to cure with booze. And so I'll open up my heart that you may look the day. Oh, 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 oh.
Wow. Blues go away. That would chase the blues away from me.
I don't know. It came out of me as a cry against the walls of the motel room where we were staying when we were flown down to record. But I said afterwards, to myself, you know, I had to figure out exactly how to play on the piano what I was hearing in my head, you know, and chord it and everything, and then show that to an arranger. And anyway, I felt that I'd written a standard. You know, I felt that it had that quality. And
I think it does. The only thing, you know what I think is missing from it?
What?
I think a full string background.
Oh, you know what, Kel? There were strings on the original recording on the fourth Fleetwood's album.
Now, I'm going to have to find that album. I do not have the album. I'm going to have to go find it and so I can listen to it and compare it.
Yeah, that album is called Deep in a Dream, the Fleetwoods. And, that's interesting that you should say that, because I can just hear those strings at the very end, the way they were on the original recording.
Like a Nightbridge Strings Cry string. Remember the old classic song? It was an instrumental released in the 60s by a group called the Nightbridge Strings, and it was the old Johnny Ray Cry, only it was an instrumental.
It
just evoked a lot of emotion. Now there's something you probably wouldn't expect to hear on the class reunion, Kel saying it evoked a lot of emotion.
I don't know. Well, you said that's your wife's favorite
She sat there the other night when I was previewing it in the studio, and she said, "Wow, that lady really can sing."
Ooh, that makes me smile happily.
and yes, you can. And I think that's interesting because I've covered this topic with some of the other artists that we've had on the show. And there are a lot of people that are still out there doing gigs that shouldn't be.
That's interesting.
Because they don't have the voices that they should. Some of them realize that. Some of them have made compensation for the fact that they can't hit the high notes anymore. And they, you know, have taken it down a step or so. Gary Puckett tells me that everything he does, he's taken down a step now because he just can't hit the notes anymore.
Oh, interesting.
And I think Lou Christie is one of the very few people in the business that still does hit the notes. But he says it's more of a struggle all the time. But anyway, you still have that pure voice that you had back in the heyday of the Fleetwoods.
Well, thank you. Interestingly, I have more range now than I had then. And I guess the main reason is, well, of course, my voice has also gone lower, as you were just talking about other artists. It's gone lower, but I also go much higher than I used to. And I think the main thing is that my mom used to, she didn't like for me to sing high. And she'd say, ooh, she didn't like it.
Sing low and sultry, Gretchen.
Right. And so I suppose that is why I have such a smooth, sultry, if you want to call it that, voice. So I can thank her for that, but it also traumatized me about even attempting to sing high. But over the years, as I've been songwriting, there are times when I'm just inspired. You know, my spirit is just soaring, and I have to write it up there where I'm feeling it. And so I have pretended that I'm somebody else instead of myself at those moments. I pretend that I'm a singer who can sing high. And then I do. And you'll hear some amazing contrasts on this album.
By the way, we want to point out for those people who are listening on the internet that the internet quality is not all that great. We realize that at times. And the fact that the quality of the album is spectacular. And when you get the album, you will understand what we're talking about. Because I have the privilege of sitting here listening to it in beautiful stereo, full-range stereo. And it's something. Let's move into the title track.
Okay.
Sweet 16.
Right.
Gretchen is Sweet 16 again. And love lost is love found, and everything is happy like that 16th birthday, 16 candles on the cake, chiffon dresses, and standing there dancing with your boyfriend close cheek to cheek.
Well,
how's that for a mental image?
That is, and if people will, you know, really pay attention to the lyrics, which is, and the music too, but the lyrics, they'll find that it covers six decades. And even though it sounds like bubblegum music, I think, it's very sophisticated in that it goes through six subtle key changes. And they just kind of slip in there without you even knowing it. And then when I recorded it in Dallas, the musicians were just delighted with that, the way it changed keys without their realizing it.
And I bet they had fun doing it, too.
They did. I remember the guitar player afterwards said, every song of yours that we do, I think, oh, that's my favorite. And then the next, no, that's my favorite. And he said, but this one, Sweet 16, he said, I really think this is the favorite. And the engineer there said, Gretchen, I think you should really consider opening the album with this.
When I was 16, you were 18, the older man in my life.
I'm not exactly sure how I would rate that, Gretchen. I don't call it bubblegum.
Okay.
What I just it's kind of a I would think it would be a song you would hear in a Broadway show.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. It just, that sort of impresses me for some reason.
Interesting.
So when you write your movie,
yeah,
you know, you can do a dance number to that.
Well, I do. I mean, I certainly will do something like that. And I envision what I would like is to do the ending, that little instrumental part, have Voz come on stage, and we do just, you know, a couple of turns of swing dance. It's kind of slow motion. But,
Yeah. Do it in a slow motion sequence, and that would be great. I think we're writing a movie here, ladies and gentlemen.
And when I say bubblegum, it's just that I didn't want people to think that, you know, if I had opened the album with that, I was afraid they might think, oh, this is, you know, going to be bubblegum. And some people say, oh, you know, I love that kind of music. I don't think they mean bubblegum, but 50s music.
Right.
And of course, it does definitely have that feel.
To me, it doesn't. I'm not exactly sure what it has a feel to me, but it doesn't feel 50s to me. I guess
really?
No, it doesn't. It's sort of undescribable to me. I guess it feels Broadway to me.
Wow, that is very interesting, because I did not think of it as being Broadway, whereas that there are some other songs in there that people have described as being Broadway. And there's one I'm considering putting in, which definitely has that Broadway feel. And when I play it, and decide how many beats I'm going to have at the ending, how many measures, I get up from the piano and then I dance it to see, because I can envision it being on Broadway, and I can envision my jumping into my love's arms and his falling down.
have you shared any of this with Voss yet?
Have I shared any of it? Well, actually, we did that when I was 16.
I see.
You know, I was having five days a week dance lessons. I was on scholarship first, full scholarship, and then partial scholarship even after that. And I would show him how to catch me, you know, a glissade, tour jeté, flying through the air and hitting him, you know, full force. And some of it was pretty funny, but some of it was pretty good, too.
I can well imagine. Could you hold on just one second? It's about that time that I have to do an official station ID.
Okay.
And so we'll do that right now. And we'll both listen to it.
You're listening to 96.3 KRIMLP Payson with translator K259AS Star Valley and translator K255AQ Strawberry at 98.9 and 99.7 on your FM radio dial. Covering the greater Rim Country region, we're KRIM.
See, that's all those legal things that we have to do every so often.
Well, you know, I would be happy to do an ID for you.
Oh, you know, I was going to ask you about that, because your Christmas greeting was great.
Oh,
and
good.
We had the opportunity to use it on the air, and it was very good. And I do appreciate that. We've had some liners from some very fine folks, and definitely want Gretchen Christopher in there. So we'll get together on the phone on that.
All right.
Sounds good to me. And it'll probably be one of our typical hour phone conversations. Gotta tell a quick story. The other night when we were going back and forth, because Gretchen was sending me the material for today's show, and thank you, by the way, again, if I haven't thanked you.
You're
but
welcome.
I called back because we were experimenting with a couple of things. We weren't quite sure how it was going to come through, and I called back, and she was at her mother's, and her mother answered the phone, and I thought it was her. And I was so blown away by that, because your mom, you and your mother sound so much alike.
And she's 97, so either she sounds very young or I sound very old.
Now, I told you the other night that you both sound very young.
Well, that's good. And I told you that when I was a teenager and boys would call for me or for my sister on the phone, and Mom would answer, and they'd start sweet-talking her. We all sounded alike.
Oh, my. Well, Gretchen, the hour has flown by again.
Yes,
and
it has.
It's just been entirely too much fun. I know we're going to do this again.
Well, I'll somewhere, look forward
somewhere
to
down,
it.
Somewhere down the road, we'll be back on again. But we keep in contact. And I'm very interested in your projects and things that you're doing. And I hope I get the opportunity. I really say this, and I say this in front of everybody. I hope I get the opportunity to meet you personally someday.
Well, I hope so too, Kale. I'd like that very much.
Next week, we're going to have somebody. I don't know if you've ever worked with him or not, but it ought to be a fun interview. Trini Lopez.
Oh, Trini. As a matter of fact, when I was living in Hollywood, he was playing at PJ's. And it was a bar and lounge, whatever, mm-hmm. restaurant and lounge. And then he had his hits and things. I don't think he'd had his hits by then, although maybe he had. But it was, was in that era. And is he doing things now?
Oh, yes, very much. Matter of fact, he has a new CD.
Good for him.
I haven't heard it yet. His manager told me this week that she's going to send me the CD, and we'll play some cuts from that next week, too.
All right. Well, I don't suppose he'd remember me, but you can say hello anyway.
Well, I most certainly will. And coming up in 2 weeks, Joe Giglio from the Four Aces will be with us. And mm-hmm. another classic act. And Joe, one of the original Four Aces, he's still around. And they're still performing. And another one of the fun groups, as the Fleetwoods and as Gretchen Christopher are.
Well, thank you. And the Four Aces, I might have met at the fabulous Palm Springs Follies, if it was indeed the Four Aces who played that. And anyway, if it was, they gave me their album.
Well, Gretchen, thank you so much again. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing www.thefleetwoods.com.
Right. And thanks to the listeners. Thank you all. This has been such fun, and I do hope you'll drop me an email.
Well, we hope so, too. And if you would like to link to the site and you can't remember that, just go to my website and click on the links page, and both the links are there, complete with the dots.
Great. Well, we all appreciate you very much.